C100 invite you to get active. Each week at this time, C100 presents another way for you to get active in the community. C100's Get Active features conversations with community leaders, directors of local charities and civic organizations, outlining what they are doing to make life in the tri-state area better. C100 urges everyone to get involved in the community. So take a few minutes and check out this week's Get Active.
Hey, it's Skeery Jones. What you're about to hear is Get Active, a public affairs programming airing on Z100 New York every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. This episode, Scoliosis, The Curvy Girls, produced by Silas Kelly and Skeery Jones. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Get Active here on Z100 Heard. Every Sunday morning at this time, I'm Skeery Jones from Elvis Duran and the Z100 Morning Show. And I have David Brody along with me. Good morning, David Brody.
I could have been sleeping, but thank you for waking me up to get me to come in here today.
Well, basically, we have some people with us in the studio, and we wanted to talk about something very important, and I know that's very near and dear to your heart because you're facing it.
It's about 8 or 9 inches away from my heart, but yes.
And what is that, Brody?
It's scoliosis. We have people here that you're going to introduce in a moment to talk about living with scoliosis and growing up and interacting with people who don't have it and helping them understand what the limitations are and what life is like with it.
Very cool.
They'll tell you about it much more completely than I just did.
Yep, absolutely. And thank you, by the way, for being here. All of you. With us today, we have Leah Stoltz. She's the founder of Curvy Girls Scoliosis Support Group, and she's the one that ignited the fire, and you're going to hear about her, along with Robin Stoltz. She's here, and Robin is her mom. She's a clinical social worker, and we're going to hear from her as well, along with a member of the Curvy Girls of New Jersey chapter, Emily Borsner, and her mom, Patty Borsner. They run the fundraising part of this. Also joining us on the phone is Emily Campbell. She's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the co-leader of Curvy Girls of Oklahoma. We'll talk to her in just a bit as well. And Dr. Lawrence Mermelstein, the orthopedic spine surgeon. He's from Long Island Spine Specialists in Commack, New York. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Could you tell us in a nutshell what is scoliosis from the medical standpoint?
Sure. Thanks for having us, Skeery, and good morning. Scoliosis itself, the definition is a lateral curvature of the spine. There are many reasons for scoliosis, many different etiologies, the most common of which is something we call idiopathic scoliosis, and the literal meaning of that is of unknown etiology. There's been a lot of research going into how exactly you do come across and how you get idiopathic scoliosis. There's a partial genetic contribution. There's some environmental causes as well. But we know that people with family members who have idiopathic scoliosis, especially mothers or first-degree relatives, have an increased risk of getting scoliosis. Most of the time, this presents in adolescence, which is a very difficult time in kids' lives. And 8 or 9 times out of 10, it affects girls as opposed to boys. And herein lies the support group of the Curvy Girls.
Sure. And how did you first meet Leah?
Leah was a patient of mine. Actually, I don't remember how old were you when you first
I was 11.
She was 11 when she was diagnosed.
6th grade.
With this lateral curvature of the spine, and it was detected, I guess, first a pediatrician or mom. I don't remember.
No, I found it.
She noticed. It was something that was noticeable from the outside. And when she was in the office, it was diagnosed on an x-ray.
How did you first feel, Leah, when you realized that you were facing this?
I was really scared and shocked, and I think I also didn't know how to take it in. I didn't know what it meant to my life, how it would be changing it. I mean, I was a 6th grade girl in middle school, and when they said, okay, you have scoliosis, I was like, all right, and then I got thrown into this hard plastic brace that I was told I had to wear for 22 hours a day. Every day, meaning I could take it off for gym class, for a shower, and for dance class.
And that was it.
That was it. That was the diagnosis, and at that moment, my life completely changed.
What middle school did you go to? What town were you growing up in?
I grew up in Smithtown on Long Island, so I went to Smithtown Middle School or a Compsett Middle School.
How were you treated?
By my peers. Yeah. I felt different. I think. For a while, I kept it a secret. I didn't know how to deal with it, and that's still my biggest regret. When I first was diagnosed, I didn't tell my friends because I didn't know how they would react, and I thought it was something I was supposed to keep a secret. So I decided not to tell anyone. I wore clothes that hid it completely, and when people would ask, why, what's sticking out of your back? And I'd kind of push it aside and be like, oh, don't worry about it. And I wouldn't change in the locker room in middle school. I changed in the nurse's office, left my brace there, then went to gym class, left gym class, changed, you know, put it back on in the nurse's office, would arrive a couple of minutes late to the next class, but my teacher knew because my mom had talked to them previously, and walked right in, and nobody really knew. I kept it a secret. And
your mom is here, Robin Stultz. So how did this affect you as a parent?
Well, when we went to see Dr. Mermelstein, we were quite surprised that she had a significant curve of 37 degrees. It looked like, even Dr. Mermelstein said when he looked at it, it only looked like it was about 15 degrees because she looked well-balanced. Normally with scoliosis, you can see the there may be a hump. Person leans over in school, they do this specific kind of test, and they can see the misalignment of the hips or the shoulders, and Leah did not have that, and that's why it went for so long without it being detected.
Yeah, most of the time these curves are picked up in middle school or even high school screening programs. The school nurses will screen every kid in the grade, and they do a simple test where they ask the kids to just bend over and they look at their backs tangentially, and very subtle changes in the rotation of the spine or the rib cage can be picked up, and then they're referred to their pediatricians and or orthopedic surgeons who deal with this. And Leah kind of hid her curve pretty well, hid it from the school nurses, and not on purpose, but it was on her initial x-ray, was a significant curvature. We don't automatically throw kids into braces. It really depends on their age, the degree of curvature. And if that curve is very, very small or just barely noticeable, a lot of times we'll just observe it and have the kids come back to the office on an intermittent basis, and we'll take x-rays and make sure if the curve progresses and gets worse and goes into a moderate degree, then one of the traditional approaches is brace treatment.
Right. And more than the pain itself, I'm sure this had some psychological effects on you as you started to discuss, Leah. And David Brody here, who got up early and is part of our show, too, you know, the reason why he's here, too, is he wanted to, you know, discuss his story, you know, which I'm sure mirrors some of the experiences you had.
Absolutely. What happened? Mine is probably more pronounced, where it is visible if you look, and so it's noticeable. It curves, so the top of it curves to the left. So my right shoulder is higher than my left. I always thought it was because I played baseball and my muscles were bigger, and so I just assumed, well, that must be why it's higher. But I learned later in life, probably in my 20s, when after years of, you know, people going, you know, you look like Igor from the Frankenstein movies, or how come you're walking that way, or you look like you're lazy. Or that you don't have good posture. People would say, oh, you have bad posture. Well, I thought I was standing up straight. I had no idea. I finally had it diagnosed and realized that that's why people were making fun of me or teasing me or walking sideways or slanted, because I was walking slanted. And so to avoid that, you said you wore bigger clothing. I tend to wear clothing that doesn't have writing on the back. I tend to avoid clothing where the words on my back will not be lined up horizontally, where it's more pronounced, and you could say, wow, why is that shirt crooked? Well, it's not actually the shirt that's crooked, it's me. And so you find ways to cope with it and hide it, whether it's not tucking your shirt in or wearing, you know, solid colors or, you know, busy plaids, where you can kind of hide the imbalance. But it is something that, listen, when you're a kid, people are cruel about anything. If you have blonde hair and they all have black hair, they'll make fun of you for being blonde. So, but some things are fixable and some things aren't. And with scoliosis, it's not an easy fix. You can't just hide it. And I know people listening to this and going, wow, your back's crooked, big deal. Well, to a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, anything that makes you different, and correct me if I'm wrong, is just a reason to ostracize you. It's to make you different because, well, I won't get picked on if I pick on them. Let's make them the target of it. Mm-hmm. And anything that makes you different makes you the butt of jokes. And so that's, you know, the back pain that goes along with it is one thing. That's great. But the emotional pain that goes along with being different is probably worse. Wouldn't you agree?
Definitely. And there's actually, I view this group that I founded, the back brace that we're put into when we're first diagnosed is the way of dealing with the physical pain that you just diagnosed, the physical aspect of scoliosis. But as you just said, there is an emotional aspect, and thus we need an emotional brace. And that's where that's what this group does. This group is the emotional brace for the girls.
So you didn't just stand idly by. You actually did something about it. You founded this group known as Curvy Girls. Do you want to explain a little bit about that? Because I think that was, you know, tell us exactly what you did, you know, and how you got your start and how it transformed into what it is today.
Okay. Well, I knew that scoliosis was a very common thing. I knew that one in every 40 people were diagnosed with it. I knew it was very common in girls. And yet I knew no one else who had it that I could talk to about, you know, the clothes to wear, how to deal with friends, how to just deal with everything. And it scared me a lot. And I just knew I needed to find someone else to talk to. So when saying this to my mom, I decided, well, I have to start a group. I'm going to start a group of girls that meet and that meet and we can meet monthly or something like that. And, sure. You know,
what's their website, by the way, in case people are turning us on right now wondering what that might be?
My website is www.curvygirlsscoliosis.com.
How do you spell scoliosis?
S-C-O-L-I-O-S-I-S.
Very
scoliosis.
Nice. Is that a test?
Did I win the spelling bee?
So you went. I hear you went on television, and that's where the story just that, really begins for you. You know,
That was definitely the major turning point of the group. The group had been going for a couple years at that point when it was picked up by Nickelodeon, and how did they get it?
Doesn't matter. Just say okay. they found out about my group. Somebody's right. Heard about it, and they, you know.
Okay, so Nickelodeon found out about my story, and they came to my pep rally and surprised me and gave me what they called a Halo Award, which stands for Helping and Leading Others. And they flew me to Vegas, and they surprised me, and they gave me this baton that said Halo Awards, and it aired on national television mid-December. Of 2010. No, 2009.
Yep.
2009, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're a little celebrity. And you meet people like Emily, Emily Borsner, and Emily on the phone. We have two Emilies, correct?
Yeah.
Emily. So now, I just want to talk to you for a second, Emily. What did you see on Nickelodeon from Emily Borsner? What did you see on Nickelodeon from your perspective when you saw Leah on television talking about this that you're going through?
Yeah, I got really excited because I was like, oh my gosh, there's actually, you know, a group for people like me. And so at the time I was dealing with other stuff, so it wasn't like, you know, right on my mind. But when I was told that I had to get surgery, I was like, oh, I remembered the Halo Award. So I went online and I looked it up and I was like, I contacted Leah and Robin, and they said that they were going to be starting a New Jersey group. And so I was able to join that.
So Leah and Robin had Long Island on lock because that's where they're from. And then you decided to get involved with Curvy Girls of the New Jersey chapter, correct?
Yes, I did.
Great. That's fantastic. And as well, while we're talking about that, Emily, you were also watching Nickelodeon, correct? Emily,
yes.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yes, I was.
And what did you see?
Well, that's when I first found out that there was really, that's when the realization set in that there was other girls out there that had the same problem as me. And so that just gave me so much insight to want to help others that were like me and find others like me. And I just went on and I found them on Facebook. And then that's when I found out there's other groups starting all over the United States. And I wanted to start a group here. And so that's how my group got started.
So you are the co-leader of Curvy Girls of Oklahoma.
Yeah, I co-lead with another Emily named Emily Tullis.
Well, there's a lot of Emilys here.
Yes, and we actually have a third Emily in our group, too.
Oh, my goodness. But you know,
my middle name is Emily.
Oh, David Brody.
His name is Emily. Very strange.
Bet you didn't know.
But the L in Emily is curved at the bottom. So.
You know, I just, when I hear stuff like this, I'm really fascinated because it shows that, Leah, you're brave, you know, You were brave. You went on television. You spoke about it. You had, you know, the Curvy Girls, you know, the scoliosis support group in Long Island going for you. And boom, now you have nationwide support and everyone, you know, no one's alone in this. And to have, you know, and have girls like Emily and Emily here today talking about this with you. I mean, you must be so proud of your accomplishments.
I am really proud, but mostly I'm just glad that the girls don't have to face it alone, that they know that there's girls in their own town, or they can go online, they can talk to girls across the country, and they can ask them questions, and they can, you know, kind of tell each other their stories and relate to each other. So I'm truly just grateful that they have each other and that they don't have to be so alone and scared like I was for so many years before I founded it.
And David Brody, you wanted to jump in on this.
Yeah. Robin, in addition to being Leia's mom, you're also a social worker.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could just talk for a moment about the importance of having a support group. regardless of whether it's scoliosis or childhood cancer or or bulimia, whatever your illness is, kids have everything these days, you know, peanut allergies. Whatever the kids are going through, as a social worker, talk about the importance of having peers who have the same concerns and same issues in terms of being able to deal with whatever they're going through.
The whole thing is not what Leah was saying, and not being isolated, not feeling alone, not feeling different. Especially in middle school, like what you were talking about, you feel like fitting in is the most important thing, wearing the right clothes. And now your body feels deformed. It's defied you. And you feel different, and you feel odd. And then you start to withdraw. Many girls start to withdraw. They stop doing some of the activities they were involved in. They're not talking to their friends. As Leah said, they start keeping secrets. And that's the main thing that Leah's worked on in the group, is not to keep the secret. How to tell your friends, how to talk about it in school, so that if somebody, you take the myth out of it, or the unknown about what is scoliosis, what is that hump on your back, and then nobody's going to tease you, because it's more about not being ignorant and not being ashamed. It's the shame that puts the girls into the depression, and if they keep it a secret, they can carry that secret with them for that shame with them about their secret for the rest of their adult lives. So what Leah does and what the other leaders do is help the girls begin to share their secret out loud. And once they do that in group, they're able to do that outside with friends.
Right. And if you're turning us on right now, you're listening to Get Active on Z100. I'm Skiri Jones from Elvis Duran, the Z100 Morning Show, along with David Brody. He's hanging out with me. We're talking about scoliosis today, and we have the founder of Curvy Girls Scoliosis Support Group. She's from Long Island. It's Leah Stoltz, and her mom, Robin, is here, along with Emily Borsner and Patty Borsner, representing Curvy Girls of New Jersey. And we're going to be talking about some stuff with them, and a fundraiser, and an event coming up, of course. And, of course, I have Emily Campbell from Tulsa, Oklahoma, on the phone, and she's with Curvy Girls of Oklahoma. And of course, Dr. Lawrence Mermelstein joins us this morning. Obviously, there are people listening to the radio right now that have this, that are keeping this secret. Ladies, what advice do you have for people listening to the radio right now in taking those first steps and maybe coming out with this? Or maybe you know somebody, people listening right now know somebody. What advice can they give to their friends, sisters, cousins, you know, about what, you know, scoliosis and what they're facing?
I would say to, you know, go to our website, www.curvygirlsscoliosis.com. And there's so many girls on the website who are willing to talk to you about it. You could, talk about maybe starting your own chapter or joining one of the existing chapters. And, we just do lots of different, it's just a great way to talk about what you're dealing with and help you to not feel so alone.
In the tri-state area, there's one in Long Island. There's one in New Jersey. Where else?
There's actually one in Brooklyn that's being founded too, because she thought there would be a good group of people there.
We have girls who have come for years from as far away as Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Staten Island.
Perfect.
You know, in New Jersey.
How about Westchester, Rockland? Do they have a support group in Connecticut?
They don't, but we have someone coming who comes to us from Pleasantville in Westchester County.
Wow.
But if there is someone listening and they want to found their own Connecticut or upstate New York or Westchester County, Curvy Girls, definitely get a hold of us.
That's, of course, the website again.
The website
again. We can't
again.
Say it enough, by the way.
The website again is www.curvygirlsscoliosis.com.
Curvy Girls.
Girls.
Scoliosis. So
yes.
There's two S's in
so
there.
So there's two S's.
S-C-O-L-I-O-S-I-S.
And you won the spelling bee, too.
All right. That's how you spell scoliosis. And
is there an easy Facebook page to find for the group?
There is a Facebook page, Curvy Girls Scoliosis Support Group, but we really try to keep it on the website a lot, because we have a really good discussion forum on there where the girls from the different states can post on it in their own group, or they can all share their stories, and you can... So we try to use that a lot more than the Facebook page. But there is a Facebook page, and just to post little things, and a lot of it says, hey, check out our website, and we also have a Twitter.
Oh, very nice. Now,
yes.
what kinds of things are being said in the forum, and what do you guys talk about?
The forum talks a lot about just girls' stories and asks each other a lot of questions, like, this girl in school is bullying me. She keeps poking at my back brace, or she, you know, keeps knocking down my stuff, so I have to bend down and pick it up, which is difficult with a giant plastic thing around your torso. And I don't know what to do about it. they're too shy to speak up or anything like that. And, you know, the girls who have dealt with that previously say, listen, this was my, I was in the same shoes you were last year, last month, last week. And, you know, you really need to talk to your school principal. You need to talk to your parents. You need to talk to the teacher. You need to talk to someone to get that person to stop, because they need to stop, because that shouldn't be happening to you.
And I think hand in hand with that, I think anyone who's dealing with that kind of abuse, that's bullying.
Yes.
I think people sometimes think bullying is getting punched or beaten up. Mental bullying is probably worse than physical bullying, because it goes undetected by most people. You go
Definitely.
Home and people don't know that you were mentally bullied. And it's important that people who are bullied tell people about it.
Definitely.
That they don't take it upon themselves or say, well, I've got this wrong with me, so I deserve it, or I'm different, so I understand why they pick on me. There is no good excuse for getting picked on. There is no justifiable reason for being shunned or separated from a group. And if you are, you do need to tell somebody of authority. Your parents, of course, but you know, if it's in school or camp or at your job, tell people, because you have a right to live like everybody else. It's bad enough your back is out of alignment, or you have back pain, or you have to live with whatever you have to live with. That's enough of a burden that you don't need the verbal anguish. Hey, my back hurts. I don't need my head to hurt along with it. You know?
Emily Campbell, you're in the middle of the country right there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm assuming that the same thing goes on, because everyone thinks, oh, well, it's middle America. Everyone's nice to each other, right?
Yeah.
Wrong, right?
Yeah.
What goes on there?
Well, I actually had a pretty nice time when I first got my back brace. It was right before I moved to Oklahoma from Illinois. And so I had to deal with the moving, and then I had to deal with the back brace and just a new school to make new friends. I didn't know how anyone was going to respond to that. But I had a better time than some people, us other mother people, have had. Actually, my first day in school, I got a note written to me that said, what's wrong with your back? But they were like, they said, not to be mean or anything, we just want to know what was wrong with your back. And I was out, I went out and told them. I was like, I wasn't going to hide it. I didn't hide it or anything. I just didn't want to keep it a secret.
Sure.
Because I knew if it kept a secret and then you made best friends and then you told them later, they might be hurt that you kept that a secret for so long.
Right.
And I didn't want that to happen. And since I was just moving, I wanted to make good friends. I wanted to keep them. And so I had a better time than some other people. I did have some trouble with some people, like making fun of me about it and like pushing my stuff down. And so, but I got that fixed out and it all worked out for me. So.
Thank God for support groups like this, you know?
Yeah.
I understand you guys, you're always like every other and any other organization for charity and for nonprofit. There's always funds to be raised, right? There's always events coming up and things like that. Now, you know, Emily Borsner and Mom, Patty, you're here from the New Jersey chapter. You could tell us a little bit about the fundraising angle. Are you guys rich, or do you need money? talk about what's happening in the budgets, with the, you know, in the finance column of this.
Well, I am currently making various crafts to try and sell to raise money. And, you know, so far I've raised about $100. And so we're trying to, I guess, just raise more money for our first ever Curvy Girls convention that's going to be in spring 2012.
Well, and I just want to add something about the crafts, because Emily went after her surgery and she was laying there, you know, she couldn't go to school for a couple of weeks, and she just started sort of obsessively making duct tape craft items. She made wallets, she made pens, and showed them to Robin, who actually brought them to
the walk.
And it was just great to see all the little girls and the teens and the moms descending on that table, and oh my gosh, it's so, you know, and buying up these things. And it gave Emily, you know, talking about feeling a part of a group, but it also really made her feel special and that she had something even more to contribute to the group. Yeah, so she's definitely, you know, made these really cool things. And
yeah,
and girls all over the country are doing what they can to raise money, because we want to have a national convention, since there are 20 groups across the country right now, and we want to get them all together for a what we're calling Curvy Girls National Convention in June of 2012. And it is a kind of a leadership training group convention, just to
That's okay. That was a chair, by the way. It was a chair. Let's confirm that.
Basically, the idea is that the girls will come together to empower each other further, to help grow groups, to train leadership, because these girls are leaders. They're our future. Besides, you know, it's interesting. Scoliosis has been the vehicle for these girls. It's been a negative thing that they've turned into something positive by being part of the group, by leading the group, by being a member of the group.
Sure.
Because they become our leaders, and they're turning it into something else. And this is what the convention is about. It's about teaching them those skills.
And this is coming in June of 2012. Do we have a location in mind?
Yeah, it's going to be on Long Island. We're hosting it since the founding group is on Long Island. And what we hope to do, and the other groups are fundraising for this, is to fly each girl that's a member and a leader in with a parent to participate. So there's plane expenses, there's lodging expenses, food, there's activities, and that's what we're fundraising for right now. So on our website there's
which is Curvy Girl, like I gotta say it again.
www.curvygirls with an S and then scoliosis with an S.com. There's a donation page. You can go and read more about it. And feel free to sponsor a child or sponsor a plane ticket.
Exactly. And you know something? I'm trying to figure something out here. You guys are all friends outside of this. That's what I'm – because I could tell that you guys have become closer because of something that's so negative. So something so negative has become really a positive in your lives. And I think that's the beauty and the underlying, you know, theme to what's going on here. That's just one man's opinion, and I'm not affected by this. Am I wrong? Right?
No. Yeah. I mean, and Emily, we love Robin and Leah, and we didn't know them until Emily joined the group. And Robin especially has – really identified in Emily what her strengths are and has just validated her and made her feel so special. And, you know, really it's been an absolutely wonderful, wonderful thing for Emily.
This is great networking right here.
I try, you know, after Leah just went away to college. So I think I've traded in 20 other girls around the country, including both Emily's, for Leah being away at college. And I wanted to help each of them develop their groups the way I helped Leah. And it's been very, very satisfying working, you know, helping find their strengths. And because all the girls have strengths. And sometimes when you're in middle school or high school, you feel like you're one of a jumble and you don't know who you are.
And I just want to say one other thing, too, about Leah. What a great role model you are, too, for my Emily and for all the young girls in the Curvy Girl groups. It's just great to see what you've accomplished and makes them feel like they can do anything if they put their mind to it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, we talked about the emotional repercussions of having scoliosis and what the importance of these groups. But, Dr. Mermelstein, before we leave, I wanted to just touch on, from a medical standpoint, what can someone with scoliosis do about it? What can you do short term, long term, and you know, as they grow older, what should they expect?
I think the compliance, meaning the kids knowing they're not alone in this, and they're not the only person who has to wear a big bulky brace, allows them to embrace their treatment and makes it just that much more successful. It's hard enough getting teenage girls and boys to wear a brace to school or after school every day. But with a support group, it makes it that much easier. And, you know, I congratulate Leah and the rest of Curvy Girls, to helping doctors treat patients, because a compliant patient is going to be that much more successful. So what we're doing in terms of treatment, if kids do end up needing braces, we try and get them. And I tell girls that braces don't work when they're sitting in the closet. So it's one thing for me to prescribe it, but you got to wear it. And here's where the support group helps. If the curves progress despite their wearing the brace, or sometimes not wearing the brace as much as they should, many times they'll come to need surgery. Sometimes these are picked up in middle school and high school, and the girls have surgery while they're in high school. Sometimes it's missed. Sometimes I'll see women who are in their 30s and 40s who were never told they have scoliosis and present to me with not so much a deformity, but to tell me that their clothes don't fit anymore. They think there's something wrong with one of their hips because one of their hips is higher. They have back pain, sciatica, and it's much more difficult to treat women who were in their 30s and 40s with these problems than if they were picked up and treated more aggressively as kids.
Sure.
I wanted to also tell you that we wrote a book, The Curvy Girls and the Moms, the original nine from Long Island wrote a book about their stories. And the idea was that they would communicate to the rest of the kids that can't make groups because they don't have a group near them. It's like being a part of a group, hearing the stories, hearing how they dealt with it.
And it's called a book.
The group in a book.
And what's the name of it?
Straight Talk with Curvy Girls.
Straight Talk with Curvy Girls. And you can find that.
Oh, we gotta find a publisher.
Oh, okay. So it's not available yet.
Not available yet.
Unless okay, you're a publisher, in which case it's available.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you,
but
Brody.
It's on the way. We need a publisher. We have a publisher's in the house listening.
Or publisher's house.
That'd be fine. Exactly. Or publisher's clearinghouse. Yeah. All right. So anyway, thank you guys so much for being here. We're out of time, unfortunately. But thank you so much to Leah Stultz and her mom, Robin Stultz, from Long Island. Founder of Curvy Girls Scoliosis Support Group, and along with Emily Borzer and her mom, Patty, for being here. They're from Curvy Girls of New Jersey. Man, and Dr. Lawrence Mermelstein, thanks for your time this morning, along with Emily Campbell from the Tulsa, Oklahoma chapter of Curvy Girls. The website is curvygirlsscoliosis.com. That's Curvy Girls Scoliosis, scoliosis.com. All the information is there. They're planning an event in the year 2012, somewhere around June, and you're going to get some more information about that or where there's chapters in your area. Hopefully, we'll see the book soon. Maybe even a movie could be on the way at this point. You never know. But guys, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
It's been great. My name is Skiri Jones with Elvis Duran and the Z100 Morning Show, along with David Brody. Thanks for being here, Brody, and sharing your story about scoliosis.
My pleasure. I'm going back to sleep.
Okay, you go to bed now. And right after this, we got more music on the way. Thanks for hanging out with us on Get Active on Z100.
You've been listening to Get Active on Z100. Reach out and get active in your community. From soup kitchens to counseling centers, hospice care to the public library, find something you can do to make life in the tri-state area better. Thanks for listening. And remember, get active. 100.